strategic are we being? Are we reflecting on what we're doing on a consistent basis relative to where we really want to be in the long run? And the more you can do that, the better performing the business ends up being. And you can't be an entrepreneur if you aren't crafting ideas that really nobody else has thought of. And if you're not thinking strategically to some level, you know, that's just sheer dumb luck.
Welcome to View from Above with John Berger of Altus Wealth Solutions in San Luis Obispo, California. I'm Garrett Lill here on location in the foothills of North Carolina. So we've got snow coming through where I live, Raleigh. We're basically going to get a victory mix. It just stinks. It's no fun at all. So I grabbed my five-year-old, drove a couple hours up to my parents' place, and this is a real backdrop with nice
little snow real background.
Yeah, it's real. Now, here's what is. I'll see if you can pick up on this. The last show I recorded, they couldn't tell. Does this look like a big bank of snow?
It looks like a hillside with a fair amount of snow on it, but I can see right down here in this bottom corner that, yeah, you only have little patches and there's grass right there. So
yeah, that's a white retaining wall. The actual ground looks like this, although they are starting to pair up a little bit. When at the beginning of my last recording, that was still completely grass. So between the white wall over here and the snow falling, it looks like I'm in the middle of a nice little winter wonderland. But excited for a new year. Happy 2025 to you. I know as we were kind of chatting before, when you turn the page of a new year, I know for me personally, I didn't really intend to do this, but my computer, I guess, crashed, for lack of a better word. I got locked out of my computer on December 23rd. So I had to wipe it completely clean, reset everything. I lost all my files except where I could re-download from the cloud. And I kind of just looked at it and I said, okay, well, it's going to take me a few days to be able to get fired back up after the holidays anyway. And I'm literally wiping the slate clean. So fresh start, fresh year, 2025. What are we going to do now? And kind of going through the process of almost taking what I've learned to this point from my businesses and saying, okay, if I were starting all over today with the knowledge that I now have, and instead of trying to go through and clean up my website and rearrange this and change that, but now I know what I have, and based on this information, how would I rebuild it and start it over from this point? And it was actually kind of a, for lack of a better word, a cleansing experience in a way to say, okay, I would have loved to have gotten rid of the garbage and kept the good, but I got rid of everything. And so I really just had to rebuild what was, you know, what I wanted moving forward. And I think that's something that to some extent business owners do every year, and it's a constant process, but you're constantly looking for the future, planning for the future. But cliche or not, January 1st is an official turning the page in a lot of ways. It's turning the page for tax purposes. It's turning the page for a lot of your fiscal years start at that point. It really is a new season that, you know, for a lot of folks. So I wanted to just kind of talk today about what is the first quarter, especially the first parts of the first quarter, typically like for a business owner, common questions you get. What is the type of work that you're doing with business owners this time of year?
Sure. That's an awesome question. So, It's a wide gamut, and it kind of depends on that what we were or were not able to accomplish in the fourth quarter as well. So some things that are coming up on the near horizon, we will have tax season. It will be here sooner than later. Corporate taxes tend to be due on March 15th. So one of the things you would want to be doing is getting the previous year-end close, especially if you are on a regular calendar. For your fiscal calendar is complacent with your regular calendar, that you would want to be making sure that 2024 is sewed up tight, you've done the recons that you need to do, that basically the stuff that maybe we were putting off for the better part of the end of last year, get caught up on that stuff, because you do want to be delivering that information. I know everybody says, well, you know, just do the extension and, you know, but your tax professional it would be going nuts if you don't give them data, because they still have to figure out what your taxes approximately are going to be when they do the extension filing, right? And that needs to be paid, because if it's not, then you are subject to all kinds of additional penalties regardless. So, and it's got to be pretty accurate. It doesn't have to be dialed down to the dollar, but so, you know, a lot of the, well, I'll put it off and I'll deal with that because taxes aren't really due till October. That is just a recipe for disaster, and then you're going to be behind for another year. So, oftentimes, depending on the business, but a lot of us have slightly slower businesses in Q1, And this is really a good time to knock out a few things. One, be prepared for, again, March 15th or April 15th. And that includes cleaning up, sewing up last year, and kind of mentally getting that done on the books and out of mind, so that you can do the other part of what I like to see a lot of business owners do in January, February, which is start to map out not only this year, not only just first quarter, but what I want 2025 to really look like. What does the business need to do? And it is sort of that cleansing, cathartic refresh of this is what our business is. Who are we? Who do we stand for? What do we stand for? What are we trying to accomplish? What did we try to accomplish in 2024? What was successful? What was not successful? Right? And that kind of level of longer range planning is really healthy to do at some point. And if you don't do it now at the beginning of the year because it's this refresh and we're in this new page, I struggle to find out when you're ever going to have the fortitude to sit down and do it, right? So, well, I'm not going to do it now because, you know, I got other things I'm trying to put to bed. Now it's second quarter. You have to make sure that taxes are definitely to your tax person. You have to do all these other things. For a lot of us, our businesses are starting to ramp back up. We're done with our quiet seasons, depending on what you are doing. So then you're not going to do it. Then it's summer. Well, we have summer break, and the kids are off doing this stuff, and I don't have time to do it, right? So now, and then it's fourth quarter, and it's like, oh, crap, you know, the year's gone. You've lost it. So I would much prefer to have, you know, have it be like, just get it done.
About my 5-year-old just walked in here and hit me in the face with a snowball.
So, is that what that was? I was wondering what that projectile that flew across the screen was.
Oh, man. That's one of those outtakes I'll probably end up having to stay in the show because it's too funny to leave out. Yeah, you know, it's funny because that is a healthy part of the process of running a business, and it should be something that you're constantly doing. So it's not something that we're saying you just do it at the first of the year because it's cliche or whatever. But when you think about it, you're right. I mean, second quarter, you've got taxes. That's going to be a major dominator. When you get to the summer months, that can be it depends on the industry probably and the exact nature of your business. But for a lot of folks, business slows down a little bit in the summertime, or they slow down to go on vacations, or they're traveling. And then the next thing you know, you're getting into the fall of the year, and if you didn't do your taxes, you got to get those ready. And now you're starting to ramp things up for employee benefits and open enrollment and things like that. And then next thing you know, it's December and the holidays are back around. You don't have time, and you're saying, okay, we'll just do it for next year. So it ends up landing that first couple of weeks of January maybe for a reason. But it is something that, you know, my mantra has been, I think we talked about it maybe on the last show, that I'm so bad at overcomplicating things that every once in a while I've got to go through and declutter my business, you know, metaphorically, whatever, and say, okay, if I'm trying to keep this simple, why do I have 78 different pages on my website and 42 you know, combinations of things? So sometimes it is good to kind of hit the reset button and really condense it down and refocus and reflect back on last year, but also think about what went right last year, what went wrong, what can we do better, and what are we going to do about it, rather than just sitting around saying, what can we do better? There's a lot of things we can do better, but what are we going to do about it?
Right.
Sometimes becomes a more important question to ask.
Right. So, I'm a planner. That's kind of, I'm an analyst by nature and a planner by training, but a lot of that planner training, which I've been doing for 30 years, is just, it's now part of my MO as well. And, I think deep down, I've always wanted to think a little bit longer term, a little bit more strategically, and I'm very comfortable doing that. But if you don't actually make the intention to spend that time and think about those things on a longer term basis, the chance to see the forest for the trees is near zero. If you are just, because you're living a very busy life as a business owner and as a business manager, and it's real easy to say, well, I don't have time today for that longer range stuff, and just jettison till next week, and next week becomes next month becomes next year, and we stop being and behaving strategically. So one of the recommendations I have for all of my business clients is, all right, what are we putting on the calendar on a consistent basis throughout this year to spend time strategically, whether it's a once a week session that you're carving out for yourself, you know, 15 to 30 minutes. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a retreat. You don't have to go that far. But what are you doing on a consistent basis, either once a week or for sure once a month? If you're doing it once a month, then it does need to be a little bit longer, more like an hour or two. Are you doing it with the other management in, you know, your vice presidents or your managers or your floor managers? And how strategic are you being with everybody else who are even your employees, rank and file, all the way up to the executives? How strategic are we being? Are we reflecting on what we're doing on a consistent basis relative to where we really want to be in the long run? And the more you can do that, in my experience, the better performing the business ends up being, because you're staying true to your core, what it is you're trying to achieve.
When I hear you say strategy or strategic planning, a big part of that makes me want to ask the question, where do you think strategic planning balance, you know, lands on the art versus science scale? Because there is a science for sure to strategic planning, but there is a little bit of an art to strategic planning as well, in knowing and just having the intuition, I guess, for lack of a better word, of understanding and knowing your business well enough to know what opportunities are the right ones worth pursuing. And part of that is using analytics to support your ideas and not just, you know, going with your gut and throwing stuff at, you know, darts at a board because your dog said that was the right market for you to, in, you know, to expand into. But where do you think that balance is there? Because I think you and I both probably tend to maybe fall more on the analytic science side of things, but there is still a little bit of that artsy side when I'm thinking strategy. What do you think?
Well, it depends on, yes, and it depends on the advisor that the business owner is working with. My experience has been business owners tend to be more creative. I mean, a successful entrepreneur is an entrepreneur, and you can't be an entrepreneur if you aren't crafting ideas that really nobody else has thought of. And if you're not thinking strategically to some level, looking for opportunities, you go, hey, wait a minute, here's a service that nobody's doing, and there's a need for it. And if I do that, that could be a business, right? That's how entrepreneurs think. So I find that most of the clients that I have who tend to be entrepreneurial have more of that creativity. And so then it really is, are they doing enough of the analytical stuff to marry it? Because if you're all creative and no analysis and no tracking, no benchmarking or, you know, saying, scoring what you're doing, that's no bueno. You're just basically doing a series of ad hoc decision making based on gut, which works great for a couple people in this world, but really, you know, that's just sheer dumb luck. And then on the other side, the people who are purely analytical about it, they say, well, we're going to do this every month and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about it, but they haven't got a creative bone in their body and they don't really have somebody else to help them with that or encourage them to think a little bit outside their current box. That's not going to go anywhere either. You can track all you want, but if you're not tracking something that's tractable from an emotional standpoint, it's just data, and it really isn't meaningful.
Well, you make a good point there too, because you're right. Entrepreneurs, by definition, have to be visionaries to some extent to be able to execute that. From your experience, you know, left brain, right brain, creative thinking, analytic thinking, have your entrepreneurs been split pretty close 50-50 down the middle versus being more on the creative side versus the analytic side? Or do entrepreneurs tend to be a little bit more focused on the visionary side and maybe they do neglect to do some of the objective analysis that they need to do from time to time?
Some do, some don't. I think what separates entrepreneurs is from the vast majority, and right, so truly people who are entrepreneurial, I don't think it's a huge portion of the population, that because entrepreneurs are willing to risk a lot more, they're also willing to live in a life that has a little bit more ambiguity and a little more of potential. This has potential. So, and we, the entrepreneur in me says, hey, potential is like 9/10 of the game. I'm always looking for where that potential might be. And I look at that, and that's even how I treat employees and people who are working with me or for me. Either way, it's like, well, you've got great potential. So you score major points in my book. So entrepreneurs tend to already have a different set, mindset than the vast majority of people. So whether it's 10%, 15%, maybe 20%, I think that's going to be the upper end of the population that truly have the entrepreneurial thing in going on in them. Those entrepreneurs do have tend to have far more creative capacity. Some have very little analytical, and those are the more dangerous entrepreneurs. And it's really just understanding what, you know, if you really lack the analytical side, if you really lack the more disciplined side, find an advisor that can amplify that, can fill in that gap, because that's a deficiency that will get in your way in the long run. However, I would say the vast majority of entrepreneurs and the ones who have had even modest success have this wonderful balance of 50-50. And it almost feels like a doppelganger, or, you know, a double character person. And that's what makes us entrepreneurs unique that in the world, is we have both the ability to be creative, and we have the ability to be analytical, and we kind of like being in both spaces from time to time. I really think from a more technical standpoint, a couple things are important. One, it's actually break out the calendar and look at the whole year, and just even make spots in the calendar that you're carving out for things that you know you're going to want to make sure are done, whether that's stuff you need to do for your business or your practice or whatever it is you're doing. So in retail, you're placing Christmas orders in March and April, and you need to make sure you carve out the time that you are placing those orders in March and April, because if you do it in May, all that stuff's gone, right? And yeah, you can't, right? And you're going to have a sucky Christmas because you just didn't do it. So it really is, look at your whole calendar for the whole year and map out and make sure you're carving out time, you're designating time for the things that need to get done by certain times in the year. And that gives you an opportunity to actually look at the whole calendar and say, like, hey, you know what? This is a good spot for me to do my vacation this year. This is a good spot. So you can be a little more strategic about your placement and your use of your time and your use of your company's time. So that is one of the exercises that I like to recommend to business owners to do. Either do that the last 2 weeks of the year or do that the first 2 weeks in January. And that's a really good over the year. Yes, benefits are tend to be done October, November, December, right? For the next year. Qualified retirement plans need to be reviewed some point in the year. And that can happen at any time, because you can change a qualified retirement plan at any time. In fact, if you decide you're going to change your plan and it's after around the middle of October, that plan is not going to change before year end. So you're going to be in a mid-year change no matter what. So at some point, and I think first quarter tends to be a really good time to, you know, because you got to be preparing somebody's got to prepare the 9900 and all this, right? So all this stuff has to happen anyway. It's a good chance to, like, hey, let's look at the plan. Let's do a full review. Let's make sure that fees we're paying are adequate, that we have the right type of advice or advisors to make sure that we are compliant with ERISA. You know, talk to your qualified plan advisor. And if you haven't talked to them for over a year, you might want to think about whether or not that's a relationship worth paying for, because you are paying for it in some way, shape, or form. So that is a really good first quarter one to do as well, that often slips through the cracks because people just don't think about it. But you're doing that information along with everything else that you're doing for taxes. So make sure that gets done as well.
How much do you subscribe, I guess, to the I'm not a huge fan of the cliche acronyms and all this kind of stuff that gets thrown around, but I do remember from early in my career setting SMART goals. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember exactly what every letter stands for. I know specific, measurable, attainable, and time sensitive, and I think realistic. Maybe is the R.
Time bound, not
time bound, right? Yeah. So, how much do you systematize the goal setting specifically? To say, this is how all of my goals have to check all these criteria, versus just being realistic and commonsensical about how you go about planning it. I love, for example, what you said of planning out your calendar in advance and having all these things so that you're not caught off guard by looking up on March 1st and realizing you've not even thought about preparing for your taxes because you didn't put the reminder on your calendar until March 15th, the day they were due, right? So you need that prep time, but at the same time, there's surprises are going to happen. You're going to need flexibility. Things are going to have to be rearranged as well. So there's always a tug of war that goes on there, I guess. So what are your thoughts?
Clans of mice and men, right?
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't have a rigid system. You know, every person that I have that's a client has a different makeup. Some are more creative, some are less creative. Some are more, shall we use the word disciplined, although I don't really like that word, but are they more disciplined about making sure that they are doing the things that they need to do? Or do they need a little more hand-holding, a little more coaching, right? So everybody is different. And I just want, I'd like to try to make sure that when somebody's doing strategic planning and strategic thinking, that they are checking some boxes. And the smart boxes are some of the ones we want to make sure we're checking. It's like, does this make sense? You know, you've done this, you've kind of created this idea. Do you really believe it is simple? Do you really believe it is, can it be simpler? Can we look at this? And a lot of it is working with somebody else who's used to doing this and is not you. So again, it's away from that forest, far enough away from it that they can provide a different perspective. When we're looking at, does it meet those criteria? I always add to that, does it meet the culture criteria? And you know, you and I have talked about this, and that culture fit, it's absolutely huge. Does it meet your values, the values that you have, that the company has, that your people have? Is this, you can have a really ambitious goal, but if the people, it doesn't meet the values that the people have, or if it's not something that to them is all that important, you know, you might as well just write that down on a piece of paper, throw it in the fireplace, and enjoy it for a nice holiday fire, because it's not going to happen, right? So I do always make sure that when we're having those conversations, we're looking at it from truly from a strategic standpoint. Is this possible? Can it be done? Does it meet the values of the company and the value structure that you've already established, or is it creating friction from those? And then as we have that kind of laid out, what can we do with this? Maybe it's a great idea, but we need some tweaking. What can we do with this so that it fits more in greater alignment with everything that this company is, what it stands for, and the resources that it has? Because the other thing is people do strategic planning for their company, and that they may be a brilliant idea, but maybe it requires capital that they don't have. And they haven't even thought about, well, how do I raise that capital? Or maybe it just requires a skill set, personnel that they don't have. And do they want to hire that a person with that skill set? Or maybe that's just not something that's really, you know, who's going to champion this? Who's going to keep it going? Is that going to be you, Mr. Owner or Mrs. Owner? Or is there somebody you're delegating that to? Right? So you got to figure out who's going to take care of all these things and make sure that somebody's championing them through to the end finish line.
Well, and I want to kind of close up here by just kind of, and full disclosure here, John does not pay me to say this. Okay. So like, I don't ever want to make it sound like I'm just having John on here so I can, you know, fluff him up and plug him at the end, all that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, John, you perform an amazing service for a very specific type of person, and there are a lot of those specific types of people out there who run their own businesses. They're running around with their hair on fire 100 different ways from Tuesday all the time, trying to keep up with all the things that you have to do running a business. I mean, it's my to-do list right now. I mean, it's I've got to update the business name in one of the bank accounts, and I've got to update the business registered address on another account. I've got all these just like little stupid things that don't take 5 minutes, but they're really important and really easy to put off until a later time. You know what I mean? And that's why I have 87 of them left to do from 2024 I never got around to, right? You kind of step into that role or step into that strategic consultant role to help execute the strategies of your business owner, help your business owners execute their visions and help them plan and do the things that come naturally and intuitively to you, right? A business owner is going to take 20 hours just figuring out how to strategic plan. You can just pull that out of your back pocket. You know how to do that. You know what that process looks like, and it's intuitive and natural.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about this on other shows, but for entrepreneurs watching this who may not have heard in the past or may not have gone back to check out the other shows that you've said this on, talk just briefly about your typical business profile that you work with and the type of work that you do for that. In your words and not mine, you'll do it better than I could. But
sure.
Specifically, what are you doing when you're rolling up your sleeves and helping?
Right. And so my role tends to be either a fractional chief financial officer, more on the strategic planning, the financial planning and analysis side of thing, of the chief financial officer thing than the CPA or, you know, tax stuff. I mean, I know my way, I can help your controller make sure that you have all the proper capital controls and you have, and your books are feeding information that is useful, tractable, and meet generally accepted accounting principles. But that's not, my focus is truly on helping the business owner from a financial standpoint understand what their dashboard is telling them, what those finances are saying. And saying, well, it's like, this is great, but you're bleeding X number of dollars, you have X number, Y number of dollars in the account, you're going to run out of money and, you know, whatever. And strategically then say, all right, well, what are you going to do to change that? And helping to guide them with I know the questions to ask that help you really focus on stuff rather than you as a business owner going, well, I need to know how to do strategic planning, so now I'm going to read a book about how that's done, right? You do a SWOT analysis, and then you do this, and then you fall into all the acronyms and all the catchphrases and everything else that students
alphabet soup of how to run a business.
Yeah. And you know what? You get to the end of it, and I don't think you know any better, you know, really how to run the business or even how to approach strategic planning. So it really helps somebody who's done this hundreds of times now over decades of working with business owners and just saying, you have a problem, you don't know where you're going as well as you want to go. That's one of the major ones I hear all the time. So like, I thought I knew what I was doing. I've been in this business for 4 or 5 years. It seems to be successful, but I don't really know. I don't even know where I am. It's like, all right, let's help you get grounded and get focused and just be more intentional with every minute of your day as much as possible. So that's a lot of what I do, and I do that both on the fractional finance side of things, and as a longtime business operator, I can also help on the, let's look at your operation and see if there's something that your managers can do or your floor managers or whatever, big or small the company is, from an operational standpoint to be more efficient, more effective. What systems and processes do you have in place? What systems and processes are, in my mind, gaping, missing, and need to get filled, right? And it's just tapping somebody who's been in around the block several times, and most importantly, not just with that experience, but is not you buried in your business and not you sitting in the middle of the forest trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. Well, and wherever you are consuming this podcast, whether you're watching it on YouTube, seeing it on Facebook, listening to it on one of the podcast providers, there will be a link very near to wherever you are right now that you can get in touch with John at AltusWealth.com. You can also visit wealthpartners.io at John's page and submit a contact form that I can pass along to John if you would like, if you have questions or would like to be introduced. If you're still listening to the show, hey, subscribe to the podcast so that you can, you know, come back. We're here every couple of weeks, so keep on, you know, stay in touch and follow along with us. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, whatever the case may be, but really do value and appreciate your time, John, to do this with me and to help answer these questions for business owners out there and want to make sure they know how to get in touch with you and how much you can simplify their lives. I think it's such a, all the strategic planning stuff can be a 40-hour a week job for some business owners. So just being able to step back from that so they can do what they do well is a key. So really appreciate it. And, appreciate your time as always. See you in a couple of weeks.
Enjoy the snow.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, John.